It was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I heard these loud bangs, one after the other, but it took me a few seconds to wake up and realize what was going on. And then as the months went by, you could see that the country was still organized, the institutions were still there, Ukrainians were still following the rules. There's a sense of civic duty. I'm Hoda Abdelhamid, senior correspondent for Al Jazeera. And between us, each time I return to Ukraine, I continue to be struck about how the country is holding together despite the young men's suffering and devastation. I remember I went once to the front line in Zaporizhia. We arrived and there was this elderly woman who was sweeping the floor. And I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "We have to keep our village clean." And you could hear the artillery outgoing and incoming. She wasn't flinching. She took me to some basement, and I walked in this basement, and all of us, the whole team, we were completely amazed. There was a group of women, maybe 10 of them, all in their 50s and above, all living there alone. If the Russians had pushed forward, and they were only 5 kilometers away, they said that they were going to get out of their shelter, stand there, and explain to the Russians that this is not their country and they should leave. I have been covering Ukraine since 2014, and many Ukrainians would tell you, you know, we have been at war for the past 8 years. I remember going to Crimea, and at the time the Russian soldiers were slowly, daily coming into that peninsula. And I remember thinking that there was very little resistance from the Ukrainians, but people would tell you, this is not the same Ukraine. This is not the same army, and this time we will defend ourselves. And I think where you have the upper hand here is that there is really a belief among Ukrainians that this is their cause. They are on the right side. They are not the aggressor. I was holding my breath when the counteroffensive in the northeast of the country started. The morale around the country was so high because the Russians were retreating.
It's so good! We are Ukraine!
We arrived in Izium. You walk into this forest and you see these hundreds of crosses on top of little mounds of sand next to a cemetery. Just a few had names on them. The rest were just crosses. You didn't know who they were. It was also shocking to see these poor forensic experts digging out these bodies. The smell literally stayed under my nose for days on end. After that, each time we went to a newly liberated area, you know, you had this apprehension. How many bodies are we going to see? How much more are we going to see? Because it is a terrible scene. And what really surprised me in all of that is that you had family members, you had friends who were coming there to ask about their loved ones. And they were so collected and so calm and so orderly and following instructions, despite you could see all that pain etched on their face. And that's a moment I'll never, ever forget. People looking for the bodies of their loved ones, regardless of how they died. Is just quite shocking. I think the attacks on the big cities, the attacks on the infrastructure, on the power stations, on the water supply chain, that will continue. And in all of that, you still have Ukrainians who tell you, we will continue fighting, even if we have to spend the winter in the cold and in the dark. And bear in mind that a lot of people last winter, especially the elderly, had died of cold in areas that were under bombardment. I could not sometimes stand in the street for more than 5 to 8 minutes. It's sub-zero. During the day, it could be minus 20 degrees centigrade, and then it could down at night to minus 30. As the colder days approach, I really wonder what Ukrainians are going to do. I mean, they have small children, they have elderly parents, a vulnerable population that cannot survive in that cold. And that really worries me a lot because I did feel that cold, and it's really terrible.